And what I want to say is, this is just my experience, and it may be that it doesn't suit you, or it may be it's different from yours. So anything you can take from it is useful, but it's not meant to be written in concrete, whatever. The other thing I want to say is, I'm surprised that I'm still here after 37 years. I never intended to stay in AA. I came here so you would teach me how to drink like a gentleman. And you never did. And I've been resentful ever since. I also feel a bit of a fraud. I like that part of the big book that says, we realize we know just a little. And as I go on in the program, I realize how much I don't know and how much I actually have to learn. My story is also very simple. You know, the person I was had to drink. And the more I drank, the more problems I had. And until I found AA, and then those problems went away. So that's a very simple story. If, you know, I could do it in a very short space of time. And that's it. I just wanted to give you some context about my background. My father was an alcoholic. His father before him was an alcoholic. And one of the things I said to myself was, I will never, ever drink like my father. I will never subject my family to what my father did. And I was worse than my father at the end. And I can still remember some of those drives that we had with my father when he was drunk, driving back from a wedding and nearly ending up in the ditch, you know? And I didn't speak to him for 2 or 3 days after that instance. I was 10 or 12 at the time, you know? And yet I did far worse things while I was drinking, far worse than my father did. It had no effect on me whatsoever. However, his drinking made the household very emotionally disturbed, you know, and that's what I grew up with. I grew up with an angry household and lots of tension, and I got used to that. The other thing, too, is that I had a brother, an elder brother, who was born handicapped. When he was born, they crushed his brain. And, you know, I never got to know my brother. He was institutionalized from about the age of 3 or 4. And it was a secret that we couldn't talk about. And when he died, when he was about 26, we weren't allowed to talk about that. So I grew up with a lot of secrets, you know. And I could say that was the reason I drank. You know, that was the excuse. And that's not true. I drank because I liked the taste of alcohol. And no matter what my background was, no matter what I'd gone through, that was the main reason. So that's just some of the context. I also just want to mention, I don't want to do a drunkalogue, but I do want to mention some of my drinking history, you know. I started drinking at the age of 16. And when I had that first drink, it had an effect on me. It made me feel as normal, you know, that I could do normal things, talk to people, and feel relaxed. But I had problems from the very beginning. I was a problem drinker, you know, and some of those problems were, you know, when I later on, you know, burning my kitchen down after a drunk, waking up with 14 stitches down the front of my face and not being able to understand or under, you know, how did that occur? What actually happened? People asked me, what happened to you? And I couldn't give an answer. You know, waking up in bed with somebody, I had no idea how they got there or who it was, you know? Those are some of the things that actually happened to me. You know, I always drank for effect. I had blackouts very early. There's a wonderful description somewhere that somebody gave of blackouts, which is sleepwalking with activities, you know? And I had them from a very early age. You know, I had periods where people would cross the road and talk to me, and I had no idea who that person was. You know, that was very much my drinking. I always drank for effect. You know, I had ambitions that were purely related to alcohol. I was brought up in a village in the UK, and my ambition was to be able to be invited to stay behind in the pub with the hardened drinkers. And at the age of 24, they invited me to stay behind. And I thought I'd arrived. I'd reached the pinnacle of success here I was drinking with the hardened alcoholics, and I loved that. So, you know, that was me at that particular age. I also had certain rules related to drinking. For example, I always drank with people who drank more than I did. If they drank more than I did, you know, I couldn't have a problem. I never drank at home, because if you drank at home, you're an alcoholic. I never drank in the morning, although I'd drink all night until 6 or 7 in the morning, you know. I never drank all the time. You know, and I couldn't drink all the time because I was too hungover and too ill to drink all the time. The other thing too, that the person I was had to drink. You know, I was dishonest. I had some, you know, in my time, I had some really good jobs. I had wonderful opportunities. And I lied and cheated and did everything I could, you know, to make a mess of that job. You know, I got invited on training conferences. My company at the time was going to send me to places like Monaco to go and be trained. What happened was I got drunk. I never got to the training course and had to make up exactly what had happened during that course. I was emotionally immature, you know. You know, if I was in a relationship, I had one relationship, then two relationships were better. So I had multiple relationships. I was immature, grandiose, arrogant, fearful, full of fear as well. And I was full of fear because I felt a fraud. You know, and I had every reason to feel a fraud because most of the time I'd lied on my CV or I cheated to get the job. I was a dishonest person. And I was unemployable. By the time I got to the end of my, you know, my drinking, I hadn't worked for 2 years, you know, which was a long period. So I approached AA, broke, I had no money left. I was going to be on the street very shortly. I was broken emotionally, spiritually, but I was still defiant. In my first meeting, I went to AA. I came into that meeting in a suit. It was a Sunday evening. I had a suit, a briefcase with nothing in it, and sat there in this meeting. You know, I was defiant. I was dishonest because I wanted them to teach, as I said, to teach me how to drink. And I was in and out of the program in the first year, I was in and out all the time. I went out and I drank again. But one of the things I did was I did it my way, you know, when I came in. And I remember my sponsor at the time, I was really worried about, well, the major thing I was worried about was when could I have a relationship? So I asked my sponsor, Jerry, at the time, I said, when can I have a relationship, Jerry? He said, well, it takes 3 to 5 years to get emotional sobriety. And in your case, it's going to take 5 years. But what I did do was this wonderful woman came in who I fell immediately in love with. The only problem was she'd been married 4 or 5 times, you know, but that didn't put me off having this relationship with her. And so we had a relationship. It was a complete nightmare and we nearly drank over it, you know, but that was me. I was doing it my way. I knew better. I did get a sponsor. I started to work the steps, but I still have problems. You know, one of the things I have problems with is my thinking. I have a thinking disease today, not a drinking disease. You know, and I like that thing that says the average person has 1,000 thoughts a day. The alcoholic will think about the same thing 1,000 times. And that certainly was me. I just want to mention really at the end of this, because I'm nearly finished, is talk about the recent challenges I've had in the program. And I retired in 2023. And on the day of my retirement, I found out that I had a serious blood disease. And this actually it put me off and made me very, very worried for a period of time. I just about got used to that. And then in the same year, my wife got cancer. And so we had these two things going on. And that cancer, she passed away from last October. And so, you know, I realized in this situation that I had to look at the program again. And I come back to that thing about realizing we know just a little. I had to look where I was in the program and in what I believed. And I think one of the things is we understand the program going backwards and not going forwards. And some of the things I've struggled with in the last few months are things like a day at a time or staying in the now. And the idea too of this too shall pass, because I always thought this too shall pass meant the bad times will go away. What I didn't realize was it also applies to the good times. You know, that life is life. And sometimes we have very difficult things to struggle with. And there's also acceptance, accepting things that are hard to accept and having to change our attitude towards them. The other thing I've learned at my great cost was asking for help, because I couldn't do and look after my wife and do the caring without asking for help from the program. And I don't like asking for help. You know, it's ego. It's making myself vulnerable. And I found that very difficult. The other thing I found difficult was a belief in a higher power in this time, because I was angry with God that I had to deal with all this stuff, you know? And I lost a faith for a bit, and I've had to work on that, because I realized, as I look back, that I was supported, looked after, and carried through this whole episode of both my wife's illness and then her subsequent death. So, you know, the other thing I've come to accept is, no matter what happens in life, no matter how difficult it gets, no matter how challenging, there is no need whatsoever to pick up a drink. And that means I can go through a hell of a lot of things and I don't have to drink over them. I have no excuse for that. The other thing too is gratitude. Because looking back, with the help I got from the fellowship, my sponsees, my sponsor, and all the rest, is a tremendous amount of gratitude to that, to what I've actually received. And I'd have to have another lifetime to give that gratitude, to give all that back, etc. I think one of the things I've also learned is about service, that, you know, the purpose is to give the maximum service to other people, and that gives me great comfort. There's a quote I want to leave you with, which is, we are all here to walk each other home. And that, for me, is a very important reason for me to keep going. So I want to thank you for listening to me. I hope that's been some use to somebody somewhere, even if only to me. So thank you very much for your time.